Good morning. Okay, my name is Neil. Say hi, Neil. We are in this series called The Cross. And we've been doing this since the beginning of the year. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about it so much is not only because we had international speakers and local speakers to share the pulpit here on stage, but some of them introduced us to characters that we are not familiar of, or we don't hear much here on stage. I'm talking about people like Simon of Cyrene or Joseph of Arimathea. Okay, so when I look at these characters, I look at them as supporting characters, like a supporting cast in a TV show or in a movie. Now, they may not have the same lead time like the main character. Of course, the main character is the star of the show, but supporting characters are important as well. And one, because they add color and richness and life to the story that we are watching, okay? And let me give you guys an example, okay? Can we go to the next slide, okay? So, okay, if you guys know this, I want you guys to say yay. Okay, some of you guys. Okay, so for all those who don't know, this is a famous, I was going to say Bible story. This is a famous anime currently right now. It's called Jujutsu Kaisen. And for those who know this, okay, we all know that Yuri is the main protagonist of this show. But he is surrounded by a lot of good supporting cast members, especially this guy right here. This guy has one of the most beautiful eyes in anime history that both guys and girls want like him. All right, when I look at him, I want to have blue eyes as well. But God is fair. All right, okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, now how many of you guys know this? How I Met Your Mother, all right? For those who do not know, it's a story about this guy named Ted, okay? And he's sharing a story to his kids about how he met his mother. And like the previous one, he's surrounded by great supporting characters. But I don't know about you, but for me, my favorite, and without this guy, this show is nothing, all right? And I'm talking about this guy right here by the name of Barney Stinson. I tell you, Barney Stinson, without him, is nothing. Because to me, Barney Stinson is legend. Wait for it. Derry. Okay, you guys don't know that thing. Okay, anyways. You guys are not fans. Okay, anyways, let's go to the next slide. Okay, Lord of the Rings. Okay, it's so hard to pick a lead character because almost everybody is great, okay? Like, if you go from one story to the other, it's a story about Aragorn, and it's a story about the Hobbits, it's a story about Legolas and stuff. So everybody has a role to play in such a great supporting cast of it. I have no idea who to pick. But if you're going to ask me who my favorite lead character is Aragorn, okay? But his supporting cast is amazing. Okay, I remember I cried like a baby. Like, you guys remember the scene when they won the battle and he walks through his people and everybody started bowing. And he goes to the hobbits and the hobbits are going to bow. And then and he tells the hobbits, what did he tell? Oh, yeah, this one. No, you bow to no one. Oh, that broke my heart. I was crying like a baby. And Lord of the Rings is one of the best stories in the world right now. And for those who are younger than the millennials, you guys have to watch this movie. You guys are missing out. Do not go to heaven if you don't watch this. Okay, so the Lord of the Rings. Okay, the next one. All right. So here's the thing, all right? So this is the OG, the pastors, the OG pastors of Every Nation Church, okay? Now, we all know that Pastor Tim, our late senior Pastor Tim, was the lead character of the show. But he is surrounded by a great number of supporting cast right here. And let me tell you, this guy makes life interesting for the whole church. All right? Anyways, that's enough of my glory right now. But can we give the pastors in this church a round of applause? Okay, God, to you the glory. Okay, supporting cast. Okay, now we all know that we're in this series called The Cross, and Jesus is obviously the lead character. In fact, whatever series we may preach on, Jesus is the lead character. But man, to have characters like Simon and Joseph and Nicodemus and the centurion and so on and so forth just adds different values, a different richness to what the stories that we are bringing about here in this series, okay? And today, I get to preach on the last series of our message and by the name of Mary Magdalene. I tell you, okay, yeah, okay, so there's a story about this. Okay, so there are a lot of Marys in the Bible. So when Pastor Tim, I miss you, okay? But anyways, when Pastor Sean told me that Neil is going to be preaching on Mary, I was like, okay, great. A few weeks later, he was like, Neil, you know you're preaching on Mary Magdalene, right? I was like, oh, thank God you told me, because I was preparing on another Mary, which is Mary Had a Little Lamb. Okay, you know, I can preach about Mary Had a Little Lamb. Do you guys know that Mary wasn't the one who lost the sheep? It was Little Bo Peep. Do you guys know who Little Bo Peep was? You know, yesterday I was speaking to the younger crowd and I was so disappointed. They do not know who Little Bo Peep was. I spoke to the kids' church teacher yesterday. I was like, hey guys, you need to teach about Little Bo Peep. And the teacher was like, I actually don't know who Little Bo Peep is. Oh man, you guys have to know who Little Bo Peep is. But anyways, we're going to go back to Mary. Okay, now everybody seems to be confused on which Mary is this. Who is Mary Magdalene, okay? Some people think that Mary Magdalene is the woman in Luke 7 who wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. So some people think that it was. I mean, if you read the scriptures, Mary Magdalene, I mean, in all the Gospels, some people think it's Mary of Bethany. In fact, in Luke 7, it was an unnamed woman. So nobody can really tell whether it's the same Mary or it's Mary Magdalene, okay? But let's put that out of the way. It's not her, okay? The second thing is, they think that it was Lazarus' sister, which is Mary and Martha, the same Mary who was sitting at the feet of Jesus, okay? But let me tell you guys straight, it's not, okay? Now, for centuries, let's go to the next picture. The next one. Yes, the next one, okay? The next one. Yes, this one. Okay, so for centuries, one of the things that Mary was depicted as was a prostitute. Now, if you guys see these pictures of Mary Magdalene, the most common thing that you see is that she's wearing red. And it isn't because it's Chinese New Year. Okay? The red is to signify that she was a prostitute. Okay? That's why the painters of that time would depict Mary wearing a red dress to show that she was a prostitute. Now, this was made famous by a pope by the name of Gregory the Great. This was around 509 AD, so it's been a very long time. But he came to a conclusion that the Mary of Magdalene in Luke 8, because she was introduced to us in Luke 8, all right, is the same person in Luke 7 who was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. And because she had long hair, it was associated to a prostitute. I have long hair. I am not a prostitute. Okay? But the Pope came to that conclusion. And at that time, the Catholic Church was in power. So whatever the Pope said was final and it had authority. So for all these years, Mary has been portrayed as someone who is a prostitute. But that's not the case. So let me just tell you guys this. She's not a prostitute. Okay? Another thing that was made famous over the years, in fact, just recent years, is that the next slide is the Da Vinci Code. Okay, so people think that Mary married Jesus, okay, and they had a relationship and all, and it was made famous by this book. Okay, in fact, there was a movie that with the same title that came out in the late 2000s or early 2000s, 2010, that kind of like showed that, okay? And I'm not going to get into the details because it's really boring. I fell asleep at the movie. But, today we live at a time where information is made readily in our fingertips. And we need to be careful of what we see, what we hear, and what we read. If you want to know the truth about who Jesus is or any of the Bible characters, in our series, go back to the Bible. That is your ultimate source. And today, we are not interested in the legends or misinterpretation about Mary Magdalene. Okay, we're going to learn the truth in the scripture of who Mary Magdalene is and why and what we can learn from her. A couple of interesting facts about Mary Magdalene is that she was mentioned 12 times more than any of the apostles. Okay, in fact, she was the only woman that was mentioned more in the New Testament. Okay, is that saying something right there? In fact, she was she was present at two most important moments in Jesus' story, which is the crucifixion and resurrection. So the only thing that we really know about her comes from the book of Mark and Luke. And Luke gives us some more details about how he introduced Mary Magdalene in the scripture. Okay, so in Luke 8, it tells us what we do know about Mary. Soon after, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Holy Spirit, have your way. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Speak to us, O God, things that you want us to know. And I pray that we will not be all-knowing, but we will apply everything that you have spoken to us today for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so here we are. We're introduced to Mary. And what it tells us that is that she was one of the people that Jesus healed during his ministry. She was healed by Jesus, delivered from the seven demons. She became a follower of Jesus. She was financially supported. She financially supported his ministry. So right there and then, it doesn't tell us that she was a prostitute. It doesn't tell us that she was a lover of Jesus. It tells us about a woman who was radically transformed by Christ, who remained faithful to him to the end and beyond. Guys, seven demons. Tell your neighbor, that's a lot of demons. Look at your other neighbor and go, whoo. I mean, seven, that's a lot of demons. You know, seven, what it symbolizes is completion. Okay, so if we're going to put that into context, that's a total, complete domination by darkness. And for her to be healed and delivered by Jesus, it's a big deal. You know, because if not, it could have been worse. Jesus warns us in Matthew 12 about how an unclean spirit comes out of a person and wanders around only to go back to the same person where it kind of like possessed. Okay, let me just read the scripture. In Matthew 12, it says, when the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house. Remember, he's calling the person the house, okay, from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself. And they entered and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. And this is why when ministers cast out demons, we quickly invite the Holy Spirit to occupy the person's life, because as we all know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit occupies your residency in you, the demons have no choice but to look for someone else. It's like Agoda. We're sold out. Go look for someone else. Okay? Only if we have the Holy Spirit in us. So it was a big deal for Mary. Mary could have been completely destroyed by his demonic oppression, but Jesus stepped in and set her free. I've seen people demon possess. I remember years ago at our annex building, I think there was some demon possession taking place and stuff like that. I walked in church and I see the demon smiling at me. And I'm like, what's up? I mean, I just walked away, maybe because there were some intercessors over there doing some stuff, so I didn't interfere and all. But demons are real. I mean, what about you? I mean, maybe we should pray for you. Nah. Anyways, so at the start of Mary's introduction, we see Mary marked by shame, regret, and darkness. Things that could have easily defined her, but Jesus changed all that. I'm standing here looking at all of you, and I have no idea about your backgrounds. I mean, let's be real. I have no idea your backgrounds, all right? And in the same way, you guys do not know my background. But can we all agree that we don't need seven demons in us to sin? By nature, okay, we are all sinners. And this is why Jesus had to step in. Okay, so we are introduced to Mary, a sinner. Not just any sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. Okay, so you want to know who Mary is? Mary was a sinner, just like you and me. Okay? Moving on, in Luke chapter 8, I'll read from verse 2. And it says that, and also some women who have been healed of evil spirit and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Mary didn't just receive a miracle and move on like some of us. Whenever we receive a reward or an answered prayer from God, we pretend and we move on like nothing has happened. You know, but Mary didn't do that. Mary, after encountering Jesus, she followed Jesus throughout his ministry. And if you were reading the scripture, it says that they provided out of their means. I mean, I don't know what Mary Magdalene's background is, but she seems that she had resources. And she used those resources to fund Jesus' ministry. She followed Jesus with her life. In fact, she was one of the last few people who followed Jesus all the way to the cross. In Mark chapter 15, it says, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last breath. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two and from the top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Verse 40, there were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary of the mother of James and the younger and of Joseph and Salome. A couple of verses after that, it says that the women, Mary Magdalene and all, followed with Jesus, not only followed him, but they also ministered unto him. Some of us are following, but we don't minister to him. Some of us are just, we call ourselves Christians, but we don't serve him. Mary, again, she not only encountered the supernatural healing from God, the deliverance from God, but she followed him all the way. And as it says here, to the cross. She was faithful to the end. If you read the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, none of the disciples were mentioned. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The disciples were all scattered, but Mary stayed. I was reading a commentary about this passage, Mark chapter 15. Okay, and what's interesting is this. The commentator said, finally, the most faithful disciples of Jesus are revealed. They were his, and get this, female followers. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and many other women. She stayed with Jesus throughout his suffering. You know, ever watch a horror movie and we're like covering our eyes? We don't go through all that, okay? And to Mary, it was horror. But she stayed with him through his suffering. She was present at the cross, at the crucifixion, where none of the closest disciples were seen. She was there. In fact, in Matthew 27, it was recorded that she was also even present at the burial. Okay? That's what true discipleship looks like. Not just believing when it's convenient, but standing with Jesus to the very end. Church, are we willing to follow Jesus even when it's hard? And even when others walk away? So, we are introduced to Mary as a sinner saved by grace, where in her encounter with Jesus, decided to follow him all the way, okay? This is the Mary that we're talking about. And this is the Mary that we're learning from Scripture. The next time we see Mary is in John 20, which is right after the burial, okay? In fact, it was on the risen Sunday, okay? And I'll read on verse 11. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated with Jesus' body, where Jesus' body had been, and one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have to put him." Sounds like little Bo Peep. Okay, you guys still don't get it. You guys don't know Bo Peep. Okay, never mind. So at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she still did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, or "Rabboni." And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So after Jesus died, Mary was still searching. Okay, if you read the verses before what the scripture that I just read, we find Mary at the tomb in that Sunday early morning. She goes to the tomb, and in her shock, she doesn't find the body of Jesus. So what she does, she goes to the disciples and tells them, "Hey, Jesus' body is not in the room." And Peter and John race to the tomb to find out that indeed it was not there. And what did they do? They just went away again. They just fled. But Mary still stayed. She still seek God. Okay? I mean, Mary was still searching for him when he was buried. And during the tomb scene, she kept seeking him, reminding me about that verse in Matthew where it says, "Seek and you shall find." If you seek Jesus with all your heart, Jesus will reveal himself. And this is what Jesus did. She was the first to see the risen Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He calls her by name, Mary. In that one word, everything changed. From darkness to light. From mourning to joy. From hopelessness turned purpose. Amazing, just with one word. Not only was she the first person to encounter the risen Christ, okay? But she was also the first person to be commissioned by him. It's fascinating. Jesus said to her, "Go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, you have to understand, in that culture, a woman's testimony was not legally valid. Okay, it was not recognized. So if we think about it, if the disciples wanted to fabricate the story about the resurrection of Christ, they would have used another character, maybe another guy instead of Mary, because no one would believe them, but they're just writing what they heard, what they saw. And in this case, Jesus chose to reveal himself to a woman named Mary. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, our past doesn't disqualify us. It prepares us for great things. You know, this scene in the garden is powerful when you think about it. You know, and I want you guys to follow with me, Obi, and I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and I hope you guys can respond, okay? Okay, so where does Jesus meet Mary? Let me ask, how do you say it in Mandarin? Anyway, where does Jesus meet Mary? At the tomb. The tomb was in the garden. Yes. Okay. Whew. Okay. I'm like wondering if you guys were listening. Okay, anyways. Next question. Where did sin first enter? The garden. Yes. Great. So follow with me here. In Genesis, Eve's sin led to judgment and separation from God. In John 20, Mary encounters with Jesus led to redemption and restoration. Eve, judgment and separation. Mary, redemption and restoration. The first Eve led humanity into death. Mary, in a way, became the first person to proclaim new life in Christ. So here we are. You want to know who Mary is? Mary was a sinner, as what was introduced to us. A sinner saved by grace, encountered the Lord, and became a follower of Christ, and followed God, Jesus, all the way to the end, where she became a missioner or a messenger. Because she was commissioned by God to go and tell. You know, I got saved pretty young, all right? I was saved at the age of 17. And I once thought over the years, my testimony was like, nah, it's okay. And not that I wasn't proud of it or anything, but I think that there are people over here who has better testimonies and stories about their salvation with God. I have friends who actually, before they knew Christ, documented themselves using their phones, like they're doing drugs, they're smoking weed and all stuff like that, that when they received Jesus as the Lord and personal Savior, radically changed. They took those documentary, those videos and made a mini documentary about how they were before Christ and how they are now, okay? And I envy that. I was like, man, that's such an easy way to present the gospel because there's something to visualize, you know? But how many of you guys agree that it's not so much about the presentation, because at the end of the day, we are all sinners, okay? You know, before Christ, I struggled in pornography during my teenage years, okay? As young as 12, 13, I was exposed to smoking. I was telling the group yesterday that I had cartons of cigarettes that could fill a wall. Again, that's just the tip of it, okay? And I was introduced to go to brothels and technically I was living life aimlessly. I remember drinking with my guys and friends and playing with suicidal thoughts. I would be on the rooftop. I'll stand on the edge of the rooftop drinking, and I'm like, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, and stuff. So that's the life that I lived, okay? And just like Mary, when life seems meaningless and slowly drifting apart, Jesus steps into the picture and everything changed. Jesus gave me purpose. And looking at my pastors back then and how they lived their life and how they served the Lord, I wanted to do the same. I'll be honest with you. Over the years, right, I mean, I had those comparison games. I mean, I grew up in Dubai. I have friends who earn 6-7 figures, okay, living luxurious life. And here I am, a pastor. But God is good. I'm reminded about the decision that I made, just like Mary, to follow Christ because of that encounter I had with him. And honestly, I don't regret it at all. Some of them are divorced. Some of them are unhappy. I may not have what they have, but I'm happy with where I am. I chose God's kingdom over the world's kingdom. Now, I may not have or may not had a chance to build a corporate career in life, okay? Just like my friends. But I chose to build the kingdom of God. I may not have at least 5-figure salary, but I get to have a family of 5. Okay? And that's the goodness of God right there. Now, I may not have experienced a life of luxury, a lifestyle, but I get to live a supernatural lifestyle with God. Because what does Psalms 23 says? God is my shepherd. In him, I lack none. This is my God who died on the cross. Mary Magdalene's story is not just her story, it's our story. Like Mary, we have a past, but Jesus offers a future. Like Mary, we may have experienced bondage, but Jesus offers us freedom. And like Mary, we can choose to not just be saved, but to follow and serve him. This is Mary Magdalene. The same Jesus who changed your life is ready to change yours as well if you let him. Okay, we're going to get into the table of the Lord, but before we do that, we're going to get into a time of worship. Okay, so everybody just stand. Okay, we're going to worship the Lord. You know, some of us may have experienced a life just like Mary. Maybe some of you guys may have experienced a life just like me. Maybe some of you guys don't know what we're talking about. But I want to let you know that there is this God who cares about you, who loves you just as you are. Let us just take this moment to remind ourselves that very first encounter that we had with the Lord Jesus. And in this session, in this moment of worship, I pray the Holy Spirit remind you of that first love, that encounter, reminding you how good, so good this God is. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of